We're going now to begin to deal with the believer's spiritual position in Christ. Because the Bible says that when a person confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and believes in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, that he will be saved. Thus, the believer in Jesus Christ at that moment is created in Christ Jesus. And I would like for you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The subject of this tape is the new creation in Christ. The new creation in Christ. Individually, as individual believers, each of us was created in Christ Jesus when we believed in Jesus Christ. And as such, we also become members in God's family as well as members within the church of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, we read, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship." It's not by our works that we are saved, it is by God's workmanship that we are saved. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The Christian believer does not do good works in order to be saved. He does good works because he is saved. The Bible says we love God because he first loved us. The more you realize what God has done for you through his Son Jesus Christ, the more you will want to do for God. Thus, good works within the Bible for the Christian believer in this day and age in which we believe, in which we live and in which we believe in Christ, good works are the result of salvation. They are what we do because God created us in Christ Jesus. Now, this term to be created in Christ Jesus is a figurative expression within the New Testament, and it describes the spiritual relationship of the believer. The spiritual relationship of the believer. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because when Christ died for us, he died for our sins. Thus, we are released from the penalty of sin and receive God's gift of righteousness. That means that you and I can stand before God just as righteous as God himself is righteous, because it is the gift of God's righteousness to each and every one of us as a result of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read, beginning in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," well, who is in Christ? The one is in each person who has believed in Jesus Christ is now in Christ Jesus because God created us in Christ Jesus. Thus, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. Each of us who have believed in Jesus Christ have been created in Christ Jesus and are thus a new creation in him. The old has gone. The old has gone, and the new has come. In other words, all things are new. Why? Because God has created us in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation in him. That is the beginning for the Christian believer of a new life. Look over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just back up one book to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. And let's see how this process of becoming created in Christ Jesus occurs. Beginning in verse 12, we read, "The body is a unit." The body, the human body, is a unit. "Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. So it is with Christ. For we, each of us, were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Each one of us were baptized by one Spirit into one body. Now, this is the great truth for the Christian believer, because when you believe in Jesus Christ, at that moment the Bible says that you are born of God's Spirit. God gives us His gift of Holy Spirit. And by virtue of that Spirit, we are baptized into one body. This spiritual baptism, which is far greater than any water baptism which you and I could receive. Spiritual baptism in Christ makes a new creation in Christ. Water baptism is simply symbolic of that which takes place on the inside. It can never cleanse you either spiritually or physically or mentally or in any other way. It's the spiritual baptism which we receive when we are born of God's Spirit that puts us into Christ. It makes us a new creation in Christ. Verse 13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free." In other words, no matter what your ethnic, economic, social background may have been, it makes no difference. Each one of us who believes in Jesus Christ were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whose body? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. So it is with Christ, verse 12 says, because we were baptized into His body, a spiritual body, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. This is our spiritual position in Christ. Spiritually, thus, for the Christian believer, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a part of the body of Christ. And therefore, you are in Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. You are created in Christ Jesus. Thus, you are a new creation in Him. Turn now to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. As a result of being in Christ, you and I identify with Christ in all that He did and will do in the future. We identify with Him. In other words, since you are now a member of the body of Christ, and since I am a member of the body of Christ, each of us are, in essence, simply a part of all that Christ did. In other words, when Christ was crucified, it's just as if you were crucified at that moment as well. When He died, it's just as if you died at that moment as well. When He was buried, it's just as if you were buried. When He was made alive by God, it's just as if you were made alive at that time. When He was raised, it's just as if you were raised. When He was seated at the right hand of God in heaven, it's just as if you were seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And when He returns, it is just as if we will return with Him in the future in glory. This, in other words, is the spiritual position of the Christian believer in Christ. Obviously, you and I as individual people live here upon the earth today. But in a spiritual, figurative sense, all that Christ did for us and accomplished for us now becomes ours as a result of being in Christ Jesus. In the book of Romans, we see this stated very clearly. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase?" In other words, since you and I are now saved, since we have the gift of eternal life, since we have been forgiven for our sins, are we therefore to go on purposefully sinning in our lives so as to make grace abound? No, absolutely not. Verse 2, "By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? When we died with Christ, we died to sin. Therefore, we should no longer deliberately commit sins in our lives." Verse 3, "Or don't you know that all of us, each one of us as Christian believers who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Well, how were we baptized into Christ Jesus? We just read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. By one Spirit, each of us were baptized into one body, that body of Christ. Therefore, when we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. When he died, it was just as if you died. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Therefore, you have died to sin. You have died to sin. That price has been paid for sin through Jesus Christ, and therefore it is just as if you died when he died. Verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. As a result of having died with Christ, having been buried with Christ, we know that we will also be raised with Christ. Thus, we can live a new life. We are a new creation in Christ, and we can begin a new life. We can have a new way of living, a new way of serving our one true God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in his death, because we're in Christ, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, in order that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. When Christ was crucified, our old self was crucified with him. Now, what does it mean, our old self or our old man? It simply means that sinful nature, which kept us in bondage by virtue of that old Mosaic law, that sinful nature which we had, was crucified with Jesus Christ spiritually. Christ paid the price for our sins. Thus, that sinful nature which each of us had as a result of being descendants of Adam was crucified with Christ spiritually. And it died with Christ spiritually. And it was buried with Christ spiritually. Thus, that old sinful nature has been done away with spiritually. Now, you and I as individual people still live here upon this earth, and we will sin. The Bible says that all men sin. And it says that anyone who thinks he doesn't is simply deceiving himself. However, spiritually, we have died to sin. We have died to sin because Christ paid the price for it. We have been delivered spiritually from the bondage of that old man nature, that old sin nature. Thus, when Christ returns in the future, we will be delivered not only spiritually as we already are, but we will also be delivered from the bondage of that physical old man nature which we have with us and carry around with us in this life, because we'll receive a new body. In other words, the Christian believer today, the one who is in Christ, spiritually has been freed from that old man nature, from that sin nature. He has died to sin. And yet we still live within this world. Thus, we are waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ, when we will receive a new glorious body. Thus, we will be totally freed, both spiritually, physically, mentally, and every other way, from sin and the bondage which it causes. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sure, you're going to sin within this world. All of us do. But we should not deliberately live in sin. Instead, we should reckon ourselves, count ourselves, consider ourselves dead to sin, because that old sin nature has been spiritually crucified, it has spiritually died, and has been buried in Christ. Thus, since Christ has been raised, you and I are spiritually raised with Him, and we can live a new life. Look over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. It says, "But because of His great love," and if you'll go back to the end of verse 3, it says, "like the rest of mankind, we were by nature, objects of wrath." That's that old man's sin nature, which we had as a result of being Adam's descendants. "But because," verse 4, "of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ." And yet physically, we're still here upon earth. But yet spiritually, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, you and I have been raised with Christ, and we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. In the future, as a result of being in Christ Jesus, when Christ returns, we will return with Him in glory. Look over in Colossians. "And when we return with Him in glory, God will show to us, each of us, the believers in Jesus Christ, His incomparable riches in kindness towards us for all eternity." Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. It says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. "You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." When Christ appears in the future, when He returns, we also will appear with Him, not in our earthly bodies, but in a new glorious body, to be partakers of that future inheritance in God's kingdom. This is the spiritual position of the believer in Christ Jesus. This is how we identify with Jesus Christ in all that He has done, is doing, and will accomplish in the future. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "Thus, as a result of our identification with Jesus Christ, we have been released from sin and from all of the bondage of its consequences, spiritually speaking." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see what our spiritual position in Christ is before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 30. It says, "It is because of Him," because of God, "that you are in Christ Jesus." It is because of God, because God is the one who created us in Christ Jesus. "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." Christ has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Christ has become our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. The word righteousness simply means to be freed from the penalty of sin and to thus stand before God without any guilt for sin. It is just as if we are just as righteous as Jesus Christ Himself, or just as righteous as God Himself. Righteousness is a gift from God. It is a result of being justified. Justified means that we are released from the penalty of sin. And when you're released from that penalty of sin, then you become righteous in God's eyes, righteous before God. He has become our righteousness. Spiritually speaking, we are righteous before God. He has become our holiness or our sanctification. That's what that word means there. It means that we have been set apart by God, set apart from the sin and the bondage and evil of this world, set apart by God, made citizens of God's kingdom in heaven, and are looking forward to that coming return of Jesus Christ. The word redemption, Christ has also been made to us redemption. He is our redemption. To be redeemed simply means that we have been bought back from the power of Satan and sin, bought back and have become part of God's kingdom and servants of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. He paid the price for us with the blood of His life. Therefore, the Christian believer stands before God holy and without blame. Holy and without blame before Him, spiritually, because of what Christ has accomplished for us. Look in the book of Ephesians. This is the new creation in Christ, which each of us has a part in. Each of us has become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms." In the heavenly realms. Why? Because we're seated in the heavenly spiritually in Christ Jesus. "He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." In Christ. That's where we are. We are in Christ. "For He chose us in Him," in Christ, "before the creation of the world. God, in His foreknowledge, knew that you and I would believe. He knew that we would accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thus, He made it such that when we did so, that we would become created in Christ Jesus. Therefore, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." Blameless, holy, just as if we had never sinned, spiritually righteous and justified before God. "In love, God predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. In love, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." That's what God did for you and I. In love, He predestined us. What does it mean to be predestined? Predestination is simply the other side of foreknowledge. God, knowing that you and I would believe, thus chose us or predestined us to be His sons. He knew that we would believe and made it such that when we did so, we would receive sonship through believing in Jesus Christ. "In accordance, we become adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will." The Bible speaks of us as being both adopted as sons of God and being born into the family of God. Two expressions to show how completely we have become the children of God. Verse 6, "To the praise of His glorious grace, which He, God, has freely given us in the one He loves, in Jesus Christ. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." Verse 11, speaking of that future fulfillment of when Christ returns and all of God's children will be with God forever, under the headship, the rulership of Christ. Verse 11, "In Him, in Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him," of God, "who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will." Ladies and gentlemen, God is in control. Those of us who have believed in Christ have been created in Christ Jesus according to that eternal plan of God. Verse 12, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also, who were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed that message of faith, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. A seal is a seal of ownership. A seal of ownership. God has marked us with a seal. A seal of His ownership. The promised Holy Spirit. Remember, we were baptized by that one Spirit into Christ. When we believed, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit. With that promised Holy Spirit. Which or who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. You and I have that Holy Spirit, that gift of Holy Spirit, which is a seal by which we have been baptized into Christ. We are now God's. We are in Christ. And it is a deposit, a guarantee of that future inheritance which we will receive at the return of Christ. Look over in the book of Romans, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. You and I are thus spiritually justified before God. We are therefore righteous in His sight, spiritually speaking. And we have the Spirit of God, which is a seal, a deposit guaranteeing our future eternal inheritance. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28, we read, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." You and I who have been called according to His purpose, who love God, can have the confidence that in all situations, God is working together for our good. Verse 29, "For those whom God foreknew," those whom God foreknew, that is, those He knew would believe, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those whom He knew would believe, He predestined, and then He called them. Those He called, He also justified. He released them from that penalty of sin, making them righteous in His sight. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. He'll never bring a charge against us. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God now and is also interceding for us. He is the one great sacrifice for the sin of mankind for all time, and He stands before God, interceding for us on our behalf. He shall never condemn us. He died for us, and God raised him from the dead. Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Verse 37, No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For, verse 38, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither a height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You and I have been created in Christ Jesus, and thus we are a new creation in Christ. Nothing can separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.